This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I greet you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And peace and salutations be upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. May Allah gather us with him in Jannah. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praise him. We praise Allah with love and exaltation, because this is the meaning of hamd. Hamd is not just raw praise. It's praise or ash-shukr ma'al mahabbati wa ta'azim. This is hamd. Hamd refers to thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst loving him and exalting him. And nobody else can be thanked this way besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alhamdulillah. All praises belong to Allah. All praises belong to Allah. Whether we praise him or we don't praise him, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking him with love and exaltation for decreeing upon us witnessing another Taraweeh and another night from the months, or another night from the nights of this particular month of Ramadan. Allah has blessed us and is deserving of even more praise and thanks for allowing us to witness the 15th of the month. Yes, the month has reached, we don't say it's peak because we still have the last 10 nights and the night of power, but the month has indeed reached the halfway mark. The halfway mark. Wallahi, we waited for it since last Ramadan. And slowly but surely it came. And as it came, we've reached its half. And we ask Allah to grant us life to see its end. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those freed from the hellfire. Ameen. And make us from amongst the muttaqoon, the people of taqwa. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree upon us to be from amongst those that will witness the night of power. Ameen. And thus receive the rewards greater than 1,000 months, greater than 83 years. Ameen. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon all able. My dear brothers and sisters, in yesterday's program, as we discussed the incident of the elephant, I promised to open today's program with a discussion surrounding Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, or the Tawheed pertaining to the Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Tawheed in the Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said we will discuss this when we spoke about the famous words of Abdul Muttalib when he said to Abraha, Ala inna lil bayti rabban sayamna'uhu. Right? When he said that indeed this Kaaba has a Lord and this Lord will protect it. Right? And we spoke about how, or the lesson of having strong belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that you and I have a greater right towards having greater belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we have complete tawheed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unlike the Quraysh. And this is the question that comes to mind. that how is it that the Quraysh believed in Allah in the way that they believed? That they could purposefully speak to Abraha with confidence in this manner. Yet, they still needed a prophet to be sent to them. How is this possible? They believed in Allah. So why did they still need a prophet to be sent to them? In answer to this, my dear brothers and sisters, we must understand that Tawheed comprises of three aspects. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, which we spoke about, the Tawheed in the Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, which is the unity in terms of Allah's worship, or Tawheed of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Tawheed al-Asma wa sifat, belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and qualities are specific to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. This is what Tawheed entails. Tawheed entails these three matters. The Quraysh only believed in one of these three matters. We're not saying that Tawheed is three types. We're saying Tawheed comprises of these three aspects. You cannot be said to have Tawheed if you believe in one and deny the other two, or believe in two and deny the other one. If you deny one of the three, you will be a person who has entered the realm of shirk and denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and associated partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quraysh, they believed in one of these three aspects. They believed in the lordship of Allah. They did not dispute the lordship. They were not atheists. They were not upon the argument of Fir'aun when he denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not deny the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they denied the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were not people of Tawheed with regards to the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why did they accept the lordship of Allah? Or firstly, how do we know that they believed in Allah as the Lord? Firstly, we have the story that we've just taken. The statement of Abdul Muttalib, a polytheist, but his statement to Abraha of his belief in Allah. There's an Allah and He's the Lord of this house and He will protect it. Secondly, Allah tells us in His book, Allah tells us, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُم مَّنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. That if you ask these polytheists, these people who deny you and call you names, O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask them, who created the heavens and the earth? Immediately they will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. So they believed in the lordship of Allah. What does this lordship mean? What does rububiyyah mean? Rububiyyah, or the lordship of Allah and belief in His lordship, pertains to you believing that Allah is the maker, the sustainer, the nourisher, the protector, the maker, the giver of life, the giver of death. This is the lordship of Allah. He created everything in creation. And whilst they believed in the lordship of Allah, they also committed shirk in the lordship of Allah, because they would ask idols for rain and for children, for example. And part of your belief in the lordship of Allah is believing that it's only Allah who sends the rain, it is only Allah who gives you children. So even though they believed in Allah, their belief was polluted. They also had shirk in this belief. But the point to note is, they were not atheists, nor did they deny Allah. They believed in a supreme being, in a divine being, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whilst they had issues in the lordship of Allah, those issues necessitated greater issues. And those issues are related to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For when they started believing that other entities or these idols can be worshipped for children, can be worshipped for rain, or they could slaughter animals to these idols, they associated partners to Allah in terms of His worship. In terms of His worship, because dua is worship. Slaughtering an animal is worship as well. So they, in essence, what they did was they associated partners unto Allah in their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to fix their belief in rububiyyah and invite them to tawheed al-uluhiyyah. Invite them to tawheed al-uluhiyyah. Right? This unity in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's worship, that we worship none but Allah. We worship none but Allah as we believe no one else is the maker, the nourisher, the sustainer, the giver of life and death and the protector and so on and so forth. We worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah sent to them a prophet. They were people of shirk. Yes, they believed in Allah, but their tawheed had many issues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never sent any messenger except with the same message. In terms of theology, in terms of aqidah and belief, every prophet came with the message of tawheed al-uluhiyyah. Came with the message of tawheed, which comprises of these three: al-rububiyyah, al-uluhiyyah, and al-asma wa sifat, meaning belief in Allah's names and attributes. But the focus was uluhiyyah. Every prophet, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed we sent the first messenger. Who was the first messenger? Nuh alayhi salam. The first prophet was Adam alayhi salam. But the first messenger was Nuh alayhi salam. Allah says, we sent the first messenger to his people. And his message to them was, worship one Allah. There is no one worthy of worship besides him. And this is the article of faith which you and I recite. La ilaha illallah. Meaning, la ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. Meaning, there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah. Right? And as I said, don't be confused here. We're not saying there's three tawheeds. This is tawheed in its entirety. It comprises of these three aspects. And each aspect necessitates the other. And each aspect comprises of the other. But this breakdown that the scholars have done for us was to teach us the reality of tawheed and why the Quraysh was sent a prophet. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yes, he didn't come and say and speak about these categories. Some people have an argument against speaking about tawheed this way. They say this is a type of innovation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam nor the companions, none of them said there's rububiyyah and there's uluhiyyah and there's asma wa sifat. We say yes, they didn't. They invited towards Allah. But when they invited towards Allah, that da'wah comprised of these three elements. The reason why the scholars have highlighted these three elements is for you and I, who are not prolific in the Arabic language, who never lived during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who do not have a wholesome understanding of the Sharia, for you and I not to go astray. For you and I to be complete in our understanding of tawheed. So this is not an innovation. This is to facilitate what's necessary. Just like in salah. In salah we have fara'id of salah. You have sunan of salah. Right? We have in wudu, we know we have the compulsory parts of wudu, then the sunnah parts of wudu. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come and say the four compulsory parts of wudu are this, or the six compulsory parts are this, depending on the madhab which you follow? And then the sunnah of wudu is this, and then the nafil of wudu is this? No. But the scholars broke it down for us to make it easier for us to comprehend. So that when we miss out something, we know exactly what we've left out. As for the companions who lived revelation, they knew because of their prolific nature and abilities with the Arabic language, they could differentiate between a compulsory, between revelation that denoted something compulsory and revelation which denoted something recommended. But you and I did not. And Islam was for the whole world. It wasn't just for the Arabs. So Allah inspired the scholars to come up with these detail to make matters easy. They were not creating an innovation nor a bid'ah. When the scholars explained the elements of tawheed or what tawheed entails, it was the same way they explained the elements of salah and what salah entails. And nobody says it's a bid'ah to say that the pillar of salah is this and the wajib of salah is that, and the sunnah of salah is that, in the same way, just as that isn't a bid'ah, this is not a bid'ah. In any case, this shouldn't be something that makes the hearts differ, right? Right? Alhamdulillah, we have an international audience, and mashallah, Australia is international. Look at the people, mashallah. Cosmopolitan community. We must say that when we differ, the heart should not differ. And not every difference of opinion is a difference of opinion worthy of being considered. We must understand this as well. As our scholars used to say, وَلَيْسَ كُلُّ خِلَافٍ جَاءَ مُعْتَبَرًا وَلَكِنَّ الْخِلَافَ لَهُ حَظًّا مِنَ النَّظَرِ. This is what the scholars used to say, rahmatullahi alayhim, that not every difference of opinion is a difference of opinion worthy of considering. The only difference of opinion you really consider is differences of opinion based on substantial evidence, where this party has substantial evidence and this party has substantial evidence as well. Right? So this is al-rububiyyah and this is al-uluhiyyah. What is tawheed or the unity of one's belief in Allah's names and attributes? What is this? This refers to, brothers and sisters, not attributing Allah's qualities to any of His creation, and not giving a creation any of the names specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Allah, like Ar-Rabb, like Ar-Rahman, right? The name specific to Allah. And not denying the names of Allah, and not denying the attributes of Allah. This is what it refers to when we say unity in terms of one's belief in Allah's names and qualities. We know that we have a group of people. May Allah shower upon them guidance. They say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is what they say, hadir nadir. They say he's present and seeing. Right? They say he's present and seeing. We say that this is a type of shirk. This is a type of shirk. You've given an attribute of Allah. An attribute of Allah, the attribute of Allah being all aware and all seeing, al-basir, you've given it to a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give him this. Right? So we need, this is why the scholars bring to us these three components of Tawheed in this clarity, so we are wary and we make sure in every circumstance, with regards to the Lordship of Allah, we are safe. With regards to belief in the unity of Allah's worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we safe. We don't attribute any partners with Him. With regards to this, to His names and attributes, we do not do anything that contradicts the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his names and attributes as well. Right? So this lesson is important. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to fix the issues that they had with their rububiyyah, and he went also to invite them towards Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, worshipping one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why from the names of Allah is Al-Ahad. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد. Al-Ahad. Allah is the one. And you should teach your children this, my dear brothers and sisters. The reason why I'm saying it is I'm having great fun with my little son, Abdullah. And it's fun the way he learns the names and the way he reads them back to you. It's amazing. And how he's, subhanAllah, you teach a name and a child's mind is amazing. How he starts analyzing this name and how he uses this name sometimes in a different circumstance. In a different circumstance. Because Allah can see everything. And you say, subhanAllah. Right? Make sure if you said you're buying me that toy, you're going to buy it. You know? Right? Because Allah is as-sami'. He hears everything. He heard you, what you said. You should teach your children about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And teach them about Allah using His names and attributes. Teach them about Allah using His names and attributes. And don't feel that they don't understand. They have a greater imagine, their brain can comprehend the unseen better than adults. Think about it. How many people have children here? MashaAllah. May Allah marry those who don't. Get those who don't married, inshaAllah. And may Allah bless you with children, inshaAllah. And those who are married and awaiting children, may Allah grant you children sooner rather than later. Ameen. How many have had their children have imaginary friends? Imaginary friends. Literally, obviously it's imaginary, but to them the friend is here. And they give them names even. My little Abdullah, he has two imaginary friends. One is very naughty and one is very good. It's absolutely amazing. Whenever something naughty happens, he blames the naughty one. Without fail. Without fail. He will never mention, and he's named them. One is named Amun. I don't know where the name came from. Amun, which language that is. And one is called Beke. Amun and Beke. Amun is the good friend. Beke is the naughty friend. When something naughty happens, he says it's Beke's fault. It's Beke's fault. Yes, if he's not sleeping, Beke's not letting me sleep. I'm trying to. Amun is sleeping, Beke's not letting me sleep. And we have great fun with it. Even I have fun with him. You know, now we traveled from Saudi Arabia to Zimbabwe for the summer break. So when we were leaving, I told him, I said, Abdullah, we're going to Zimbabwe. He says, yes. I said, whose house are we going to? He says, we're going to his grandfather's house, my dad's house. I said, yes. I said, your bags are packed. He said, yes. I said, what about Amun and Beke? Started thinking. He says, no, they're staying here. But when I got into the plane, he said, so we're going to Zimbabwe. I said, no, we're going to Dubai first. He says, why are we going to Dubai? I said, because the plane that goes to Zimbabwe, we have to catch it from Dubai. He goes, okay, I get it. He goes, Amun and Beke, they're going to Qatar. I said, why are they going to Qatar? He says, their plane that goes to Zimbabwe is from Qatar. Alhamdulillah. May Allah preserve our children in His obedience. Ameen. So, they have an imagination. You tell them about Allah. Allah is not strange to them. It's not strange to them. Teach them about Allah. Never feel they're too small. And teach them also about shaitan. Never feel they're too small to know. Tell them shaitan is bad. Ya'qub alayhi salam trained his young boy Yusuf alayhi salam about shaitan at a very young age. We know Yusuf was abducted as a young boy, but before he was abducted, Ya'qub alayhi salam taught him, Inna shaytana lil insani aduun mubin, that indeed shaytan is a clear enemy to insan, to mankind. Teach them about shaytan. In any case, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Why did the Quraysh accept that there's a Rabb, but they didn't accept that he is the only one worthy of worship? Why? I found an amazing explanation by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayh about this point. And may Allah gather us with our scholars in Jannah, ameen, with the Imams, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam al-Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad, and all the scholars, the students of the Imams, rahmatullahi alayhi. May Allah gather us with them in Jannah. Wallahi, we've benefited from them. And we read their works and we love them and can't wait to meet them. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi says, look, the term Rabb, this is one of the names of Allah. This term Rabb has multitudes of meanings, and that's why it's one of the great names of Allah. It's been used in the Quran hundreds of times. The only name used more than Rabb is the name Allah. And that's why the scholars say the greatest name of Allah is Allah. There's some difference of opinion, but the majority say the greatest name is Allah. Rabb is also one of the great names of Allah. Why? Because this name entails several other meanings of the other names of Allah. One of the meanings of Rabb is the one who protects you and nurtures you to perfection, to completion. And that is why if you look at a lot of the supplications, it's Ya Rabb, Rabbana, 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 right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the dua of the prophets, and they were always saying, Rabbi, Rabbi ighfirli wa li walidayya, Rabbi ighfirli wa li akhi wa adkhilna fi rahmatik. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he taught us the best of istighfar, Allahumma anta Rabbi, la ilaha illa ant. This term Rabb is used by all the anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was seeking protection from the females who were enticing him towards zina, he said, Rabbi sijin, oh my Rabb, he turned to his Rabb, right? This term Rabb was used by the anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, and it was used by the pious worshippers of Allah who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised. For example, indeed, in the differences of the night and the day, في اختلاف الليل وإن في خلق السماوات, indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth, واختلاف الليل والنهار, and in the differences of the night and day. And we know there's differences. Some nights are long and some nights are short. Some nights are hot and some nights are cold. Some nights are loud with war. May Allah protect our brothers and sisters. Ameen. And some nights are peaceful with security. There's differences in the nights and the day. Allah says in all of this are signs for those of understanding. Allah praises the people of understanding. Who are the people of understanding, Ya Allah? Allah tells us, Allah says,
الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ.
Allah says, these people of understanding are those who remember Allah قِيَامًا, standing, وَقُعُودًا, while sitting, وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ, and on their sides, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ, and they ponder and reflect over the creation of the heavens and the earth. What does this ibadah do to them? This is ibadah, reflecting is ibadah. What does it do to them? It inspires them and it grows their awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus they feel this overwhelming need to exalt Allah. So they say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. رَبْ. They say, oh our Lord, indeed you did not create this in falsehood. They start making dua and dua and dua. First they say, glory be to you, protect us from the hellfire. Then what do they say?
رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيَ يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَى رُسُلِكَ وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادَ. رَبْ 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 رَبْ.
Right, we don't have time to go into the meanings, but revise it. I've given you its placement just before Surah An-Nisa, a page before Surah An-Nisa. So they call unto Allah saying, Rabb, Rabb, Rabb. What does Allah say to them?
فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ.
Subhanallah. Allah says, thus their Rabb responded to them and answered them. Subhanallah. And gave them the glad tidings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this ayah. So this term Rabb has a specific presence and placement in the life of a human being. Because the human being is designed to survive. He's designed to survive. And Rabb refers to the one who protects you and nurtures you to completion. So Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says it wasn't abnormal for them to accept this. It was part and parcel of what they have been designed to do, which is to survive. Their desire to survive necessitated them accepting the presence of a supreme being who they can turn to for protection and who nurtures them to completion. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, what a deep understanding. Wallahi, when I read this, it's like Ustaz Ismail said, knockout punch. It was a knockout punch, wallahi. I said, subhanallah, look at this this aql of this man. Right? Look at the brain of this person to actually deduce this and grow and enhance our understanding of the term Rabb. So this was not strange for the Quraysh. They need to survive in their, in you know, insan has its issues and weaknesses. Insan's need to survive was far, insan felt that his need to survive was far greater than his need to worship one Allah, so he accepted the rububiyyah of Allah and never necessarily accepted the uluhiyyah. If only insan knew that survival can only be when you worship one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah gather us together to discuss Tawheed in greater detail. In this day and age, brothers and sisters, do we have issues in the rububiyyah of Allah? Yes, we don't prostrate to anyone but Allah. And inshallah, we don't ask anyone but Allah. We don't ask any saint. We don't ask any person who's passed away. And we don't claim people to be saints before the day of Qiyamah. This is not from the practice of Islam. And if you look at the sources even of those before us, it's not from the teachings of their prophets. Because the Jews and the Christians too believe in the day of judgment. And when they claim people to be saints, this is a contradiction. Not so? That you're claiming someone to be from paradise before the day of judgment. This is a contradiction. But in terms of Islam as well, people say this saint and that saint. We say only Allah knows who are the saints from the non-saints. Right? Nobody knows. He liked that term, non-saints. Huh? I didn't say nonsense. But you caught on. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. You guys, why are you so slow, man? Come on. You're not fasting right now, are you? So we don't ask people who've passed away. We ask only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah we have no issues, inshallah, with the uluhiyyah. But do we have issues with rububiyyah? With our tawheed in the lordship of Allah? There are certain elements that need to be corrected in our societies, my dear brothers and sisters. There are. How many times do we hear people attribute success to themselves? How many times? How many times have people attributed financial success to themselves and not recognized Allah? Attributed educational success to themselves and not recognized Allah? Attributed success in their work and success in their play to themselves and not recognized Allah? How many times have they attributed success in the spouses that they're married to themselves? It's my handsomeness, it's my qualities that she wanted to marry me. Or the female will say, alhamdulillah, I used to have a line of people who wanted to marry me. We deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the process. How many times do we attribute the success of our material well-being to ourselves and deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many times do we hear a person say, it's I put food on my table. I put food on my table. It is my earning. It is my hard work. It was my idea that got this deal. It was my doing that caused the success. How many times do we hear people say that? This is dangerous, my dear brothers and sisters. This shows a form of weakness in terms of your tawheed al-rububiyyah. When you say Allah is the Lord, how can you attribute anything to yourself when Rabb refers to the one who nurtures you to completion? The perfection you have is not from yourself. It's from the one who nurtured you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, Al-Wahidul Qahhar, Al-Ahad, As-Samad, As-Samad, the one upon whom everything in creation is dependent upon. Alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we say this? Right? So we need to take heed, my dear brothers and sisters. Never, ever attribute anything to yourself. Your complete belief in Allah necessitates and dictates that you acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praise be to Allah who blessed me with these A stars in my exams. All praises be to Allah who blessed me with the ability to study. All praise be to Allah who increased my knowledge. All praise be to Allah who decreed upon me sustenance, who opened the hearts of the people to accept my idea for this deal to go through. All praise be to Allah. All praise be to Allah. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. We need to take heed, my dear brothers and sisters. Wallahi, discussing these things, you can go on and on talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this blessed month. But we must move on.